Good morning. It's yet another wonderful day at AirVenture 2022. I'm Mike Morgan. Amy Labota is not with us today. She has gone home and she wishes she were here. I can guarantee you that. Our guest in the first quarter hour today comes from NASA, and it is Dr. Samantha McGill, who handles business development in the Aeronautics Research Directorate at NASA Langley, at the Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia. Sam, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. There's this interesting, storied, really important relationship between NASA and industry. And that's I understand, what you're kind of responsible for, being a, sort of a matchmaker. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I've fairly recently come to NASA, just about a little more than a year now. And business development is a little bit of a loose term, I feel like, at NASA, because of course it's not for a for-profit organization, but part of its original mandate in 1958 with the National Aeronautics and Space Act is to partner and transfer the technology that it builds up. We're an agency. We're supposed to work on the hard problems, you know, your low TRL, and then we're supposed to develop that and hand it off to the commercial sector to build on a market that's already there, or as we see around here at EAA, some of the emerging markets that are coming out in aviation.
Low TRL, what does that mean?
Oh, technical readiness level. So that's a scale that NASA came up with to you know, how is that technology ready? Usually around TRL 6 is when, you know, a company might pick it up and then develop it to a commercial, which is around, you know, the 8-9 level.
So your background's, your education is in aerospace engineering.
Yes.
And so you take what you know about a project as it's reaching that level, and then you go hunting for commercial partners who might be able to pick it up and make the right things happen with it.
Yeah, and I would say not only commercial partners, but we also partner with universities, other government agencies, and it's not always to then take that technology to them. They partner with us, you know, 50-50. On a lot of different things to bring that to a level where the broader industry can take it over. These are the hard problems that, you know, not only with the technology, but the workforce, the cost of it, you need to work together to solve these very hard problems.
Well, let's walk through some of the projects that you've helped shepherd the relationship with. One that is pretty well known and is on display in a number of ways at the NASA Pavilion here is the X-59. Tell me what it is and then talk about the partners that you've secured for it.
Well, I will say use we instead of I. I have not secured any of those partners, but NASA has secured those partners, so I want to be clear
sure
on that. The X-59 will be one of the first in a very long time unmanned or uninhabited, or actually will be manned, inhabited aircraft that we've had. I mean, it's been since the X-29, so I think that's really exciting that that aircraft, knock on wood, should fly by the end of the year. And its purpose is to help help get to a place in the market where we can, again, have supersonic flight over land. And part of that reason why it was taken away in 1973, I believe, is because of the loud sonic boom. I mean, we're hearing this. It's so much fun here at EAA, but I don't think we'd want to hear that all the time. So how can we develop an aircraft that has more of a thump, a lower sound that the community can accept? And that'll allow us to get to hand that off to industry. We're going to hand it off to the FAA and ICAO first so they get enough data, and hopefully we'll check the box that we can move forward with commercial supersonic flight over land again here in the future.
Who are the key partners on that project?
The key partners, I think a lot of folks know Lockheed Martin, so that's a 50-50 cost share with NASA. They are actually building the X-59. Another key partner that I'm aware of is Collins Aerospace. They're helping with the avionics and the external vision system.
And you said again that this aircraft is expected to fly this year, then?
That is the goal.
Understand, yeah, it's not like a drop deadline or anything like that, but that's the expectation, yeah. Okay, walk me through another project that fits this.
Another big project that we have, it's out on the street, so to speak, as part of the Sustainable Flight National Partnership, the Sustainable Flight Demonstrator. It's not quite an RFP. We're calling it an announcement for partnership proposals. And that's out on the street, I think, through September 1st. And we're also looking for another demonstrator aircraft. It will be a vehicle that will allow us to hang, as I say, or incorporate many different technologies that will help us get to that net zero 2050 goal for emissions.
The sustainable flight demonstrator, give me a sort of a word picture of what that aircraft might look like.
It could look like anything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's out there. There are several artist concepts of what might be a more efficient or lower emission aircraft. I think many people see the truss braced wing. You'll see examples of that if you come by our NASA pavilion. Also the blended wing body. So moving away from that traditional tube and wing configuration. But that's not the only thing that this would be a part of. I mean, it could be the propulsion systems, trajectory-based operations, all sorts of areas that might get us there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Samantha McGill, who's the Business Development Manager at NASA Langley Research Center for the Aeronautics Research Directorate, helping put together NASA projects and partners in industry and academia. So we talked about the X-59 Sustainable Flight Demonstrator. Anything else you want to sort of touch on?
Well, to talk to some of the partners that we have here at EAA, and there's a lot of them. We did have a chance to go visit GE Aviation with our Deputy Director, Pam Melroy. They are partnering on the EPFD, the Electric Powertrain Flight Demonstrator. So GE won a competitive bid, as well as Magnet. So we had two slots for that. And they will be working on modifying existing aircraft to look at electric engines. So,
any others?
Oh, some of the other ones. Yeah. Another big bucket is the advanced air mobility. You see a lot of folks out here.
Absolutely.
Working on vertical eVTOL, you know, electric vertical takeoff and landing. We do have a partnership with Joby. That's the Advanced Air Mobility National Campaign, and there's several different levels to that to try to keep moving that technology forward. And we did recently finish a noise campaign with Joby. WISC is another one that's working on that organization too.
Yeah. What about pure research? Do you end up placing or helping select partners that are doing just experimental research and other kinds of things?
Yeah, a lot of times those partners would end up being our universities or other mm-hmm. fellow government agencies or federally funded research labs that are out there. So we also have within the Aeronautics Mission Directorate, the TACP. We love our acronyms at NASA, and sometimes we forget what they actually stand for. So
you get a pass on that because there are so many of them.
It's technologies, advanced concepts, program, but basically it's the bucket of the mission directorate that allows for that really low-level research, and we've got several different arms in that. You know, a lot of the ones people might be familiar with is NASA works a lot on CFD, AI, automated intelligence, you know, machine learning, sort of those tools and techniques that will help us design vehicles quicker and more accurately.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit ago that you were sort of new to NASA. How'd you get there?
Well, that's an interesting story. So I've been with NASA since March of 2021. I've been in the industry for quite a long time. A lot of the folks I've worked with are here on the field. So excited to say to see friends and old familiar faces. So that's great here at EAA that you can do that. But I've worked largely in the business jet OEM world. So helped develop a few aircraft there. I've also worked on unmanned vehicles with Air Environment. Most recently went to the nonprofit sector with an organization called AIAA, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics.
Yeah.
And I think, as we all know here at EAA, when you see your friends, it's a close-knit community, and opportunities present themselves. And, you know, you've learned something from one organization and you can move on to a next. So few conversations and a few phone calls, and I'm at NASA now. So,
Are you a pilot?
I do have a single engine land pilot's license that I will admit is very old.
A little
and
dusty,
maybe. It's a little dusty.
Okay. Yeah, so I was going to ask if you flew into AirVenture. I'm guessing maybe not.
No, I did not. I got it when I was at school. I'll give a war eagle out there for the Auburn. I know that those folks are here, the aviation management program.
Yeah.
When I was in school, I worked, got my pilot's license.
Yeah. So have you have been to AirVenture before, it sounds like. Probably,
yes.
Probably a bunch of times.
I was trying to remember a number. I think my dad brought me here first when I was in school as an aerospace engineer, so that was very special. We camped out at over at Schoeller Camp, so that was I was hooked.
So, as we kind of wrap up here, do you have any words of wisdom, suggestion, advice for people who may be thinking about careers at NASA? What's it been like for you to sort of move yours in that direction into the public sector?
NASA is an organization that provides a lot of opportunity. You know, I work in the aeronautics regime, but if you stop by our booth, you know we do science and space and human exploration. So there's lots of opportunity to move around. We offer internships, some combination of nasa.interns.gov will get you there. And we just like most of the aerospace companies, we are hiring for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was going to be my last question. Is there an abundance of opportunity here for people?
There is an abundance of opportunity, absolutely. We've got a good number of folks retiring, and we are definitely looking for new faces. And like I said, there's just so much more. You know, there's not just one product at NASA. There's many products, so you have an opportunity to work and learn a lot of different areas.
That's cool. Dr. Samantha McGill, who's the Business Development Manager in the Aeronautics Research Directorate of NASA Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you.
You are listening to EAA Radio.